Tonight, James slaps a bunch of women. Mike gets called fat repeatedly. And we set the world on fire.
This is James from ShrellPunk.com.
Aunt, this is the couch potato, Mike. How you doing today, sir?
You are Cookie Monster, Mike.
I'm not Cookie Monster, Mike. I ate 3 fucking cookies. Good God.
Whatever.
I paid for those fucking cookies. I can eat them if I want to.
I heard you getting up all night. Get out of them cookies!
Oh, God, you sound like my fucking wife, dude.
What, your wife telling you to bring back cookies?
Yeah, well, last night she's like, are you going to bed? I'm like, I just got these cookies. I'm like, I guess if you're demanding that I do. She's like, oh, I don't want to sit here listening to you crunch.
Oh, my God. See, that's why I can't be married, because I'd be like, shut your mouth.
Yeah, I don't tell my wife, shut her mouth.
Sometimes you just need to pull a Sean Connery and just slap a girl.
I'm not slapping a... Good God, man.
I know, I'm not bombshell. It's been nice knowing you guys.
It's no fucking wonder you're still single. Good God.
Yes, yes. I know. Sometimes women just need to be slapped. I mean, haven't you watched Gremlins Part 2 when the redhead was, like, freaking out and they just slapped her and she's like, okay, I'm calm now, I'm calm.
I don't remember that part.
Dude, I've loved redheads since the day I was born. But yeah, I remember that. There was a redhead, she was...
I remember the redhead,
yeah. Yeah, she was freaking out and they just slapped her.
Yeah, but it was another woman that slapped her. It was like the main
Even women know sometimes a woman needs to be slapped.
Yeah, but that's... Okay. But before we get into anything else, I think we should announce our contest winner.
Oh. So we had a contest last week. The movie answer was Cuffs. I need a big gun that holds a lot of bullets. And I don't have permission to say the guy's whole name, but we will say that his name is... Possibly Ryan? I wasn't prepared for this. You didn't tell me.
Well, we discussed it in the car earlier.
We discussed a lot of things in the car, but we're not going to talk about any of them on the podcast today.
He doesn't want us to say his whole name?
Well, I don't have permission. I'll just go around saying people's names, but I'll say his first name.
Well, then we only get to send him half a patch.
Whatever. There we go. Ryan. Thank you, Ryan, for winning the contest. I believe the answer to your question for Mongo is a pawn. Mongo-only pawn in Game of Life. We think it is...
From the
Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, classic movie Blazing Saddles by Mel Brooks.
But we could be wrong. My first instinct was Night at the Museum.
There's no Mongo in that.
I thought that's what that statue
They just called it the Easter Island hit. It called everybody else Dum Dum.
Yes, I don't know. But you get a patch regardless.
Yep.
So anyway, how are you this week?
Well, you know, win some, lose some.
Yeah.
I'm kind of pissed off a little bit about work, but I don't want to get into that here.
Yeah, I have been pissed off at work, but I have no reason why. But it helps me get through work faster being infuriated. So, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to a blind rage and like just work like a maniac. So.
Well, that's what I try to do, and I get sent home early for it.
Well, your job is customer service. My job is putting things on a shelf.
Yeah, but I got sent home basically because I have a penis is what happened.
Yes, it's
my supervisor's a fucking woman, and she's trying to muscle me out of the fucking business, and she can go fuck herself. I don't care. She don't listen to the show.
Yeah. So I don't think we have any other news. We are kicking around the idea, and it'll be further like in July or so when we actually decide or not.
We'll announce the date when we actually have a date to announce.
But we've been kicking around the idea of having a survival punk gathering. Camp in the field, probably, I'm actually thinking, like, no admission charge, just show up in camp, you will have to sign a waiver.
You have to sign a waiver, and you also have to answer a question.
Yeah?
They have to answer a trivia question about our show.
Otherwise,
I don't want just random people showing up, I want actual fans and listeners showing up.
I doubt anyone else would come.
I'm just saying, you know, one fan's like, oh yeah, you should totally come to this, these guys that I listen to, yeah, it's gonna be great. No, I don't want that happening, I want fans of the show showing up.
Well, yeah.
So yeah, you gotta be a fan, there'll be no mission, you gotta do a disclaimer, we're not gonna feed you, this isn't that kind of gathering, you bring your own food.
Yep, it's bring your own everything.
Everything, yeah.
This is a free podcast.
Yes.
You guys wanna start paying, we'll start putting out the food.
Yeah. I mean, we'll eat, and then, do some like, skill trading, you know, we'll show off some stuff, we'll show off some gear, maybe have a trade blanket. I don't know if anyone's even interested in this or not, but, you know, if you are interested in showing up, in basically Middle Tennessee to camp for probably a weekend, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, get out of here.
Yeah, and you actually have a chance to meet the good people from the Crooked Tree Farm who we've had on the show before.
Right, and, you know, whoever wants to show up, it should be fun times. You know, and it's kind of hard to find, you know, camping that's not stupid campground. We won't provide you with any facilities. There'll be a lake. You'll have to, not a lake, there'll be a stream. You have to filter the water or boil it, or you could walk up to Mike's house and get it from his faucet. Not his faucet, but his spigot in the yard.
Yeah, you get it from the hose.
You get it from the hose. Just like the government will give you from the hose.
Yep. He'll be hosed one way or the other.
So if you're interested, drop me an email, james@survivalpunk.com. And then, go camping and shit. Maybe we'll shoot guns, too. There'll be that, too. There'll be a range day.
Yeah.
In the backyard.
Like I said, yeah.
21 gun salute.
Exactly.
To me.
And what? You arrogant son
yes.
of a bitch.
So what are we going to cover up today on the show?
Coming up on the show today, we're going to be talking about 12 ways chapstick can be used as a survival tool. Vince Vaughn wants to protect our schools with firearms. We're going to be, our main topic today is all about fire starting. And on Gadget Punk, we're going to be reviewing Fox Outfitters Trek Hammock.
Yes.
But before we get into all that, let's have a few words from our good sponsors. Starting with the good folks over at JMBullion.com for all your gold and silver needs, JMBullion.com. A great hedge against monetary inflation. Start investing wisely now in the currency of the new world. You get free shipping on all orders of $100 or more. So find them in the banner on the right-hand side of survivalpunk.com. Click there so we get credit for the sale. While you're in that banner, also stop over at campingsurvival.com for all your bug-in and bug-out needs. The home of the fish antibiotics. Great, just like human antibiotics, but you start requiring all your food in flake form. What else do they have over at campingsurvival.com? Survival Punk James.
They've got life straws that I use to filter the said stream that we're talking about using to water people with in the Survival Punk Gathering.
It makes cow poo water drinkable.
Drinkable. Yeah, tasty, too. I liked it. Mike doesn't like anything that's weird or abnormal.
Yeah, but...
he said the water had a weird texture.
But you know what tastes a lot better than cow poo water?
What's that?
Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee.
Oh, my God. I love those guys.
Yeah. Greatest cup of coffee on either side of the globe. Proceeds from the sales of the Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee go to help out a local orphanage, and they actually pay their workers in Thailand a fair wage, which is not something a lot of people in Thailand get.
Please go there, and because I'll be hitting them up for renewal sponsorship soon, and I myself need to make another order very soon, because I'm running very low on Mai Tai coffee.
And anybody that shows up to the gathering of the Survival Punks, if you bring us any Mai Tai coffee, you will get a shout-out on the show.
Hopefully... I wish Mai Tai Coffee would send me coffee for the gathering. Maybe we should try to get prizes.
Yeah, we should. Have competitions and stuff and try to get prizes.
There may be prizes.
Yeah,
I have gear to give away.
Contact your sponsors and see if they'd be willing to sponsor an event like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. But that's Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee in the banner on the right-hand side of survivalpunk.com, where you'll also find a little place marked Well Food Co. Well Food Co., home of the Carne Bar and the Paleo MRE. Great place to eat paleo cookies. Paleo-ish,
yes.
Yes. What else do they have over there?
They've got carne bars created with Rob Wolf and John Wellborn.
I've never eaten a Rob Wolf before. Is that any good?
He's a creator of the bar. Not so much.
You said created with.
Yeah, he helped co-create it. It was super good too. I loved it. Nick from CrossFit Barefoot wasn't a huge fan. But I liked it. It had a little twang to it. A little twang. I like a little tanginess in my food. So, I liked it. I love the stuff from there. Their paleo cookies are pretty good. They're milk-free, soy-free chocolate was delicious.
Is it gluten-free?
It is all that. Oh my God, dude. One of my friends put out a picture recently. Some motherfucker is labeling their water as gluten-free.
Well, isn't it?
It's still stupid. It's like calling air. Our air is now gluten-free. No shit, you dumb son of a bitch! I just hate people like, oh, we're gonna slap gluten-free on everything. It doesn't matter.
Oh, God, I want to do that now. I want to market bottled water and put, like, gluten-free, sugar-free, no high-fructose corn syrup, paleo-friendly, Atkins-friendly.
Yeah.
And vegan-friendly.
There's actually a paleo-friendly.
No animal byproducts. Now. Paleo-free labeling?
Friendly. Paleo, like a paleo-approved items, and I'll have like a paleo-friendly stamp they can get on there. But anyway, let's jump into...
12 ways chapstick can be used as a survival tool. Now, this comes to us from the good people over at realworldsurvivor.com. Yes. And let me see here. We're going to start down at the number 12 and read their list backwards?
The correct way, yes.
Yes, okay. So let's start off with number 12. Use the empty container to store thick products like toothpaste, soap, wax, and petroleum jelly.
Number 11. Dip it in ashes and put it on your face to make a hunting mask.
Huh, interesting.
Interesting.
Number 10. Dip it in ashes to put it under your eyes to reduce glare in snow or desert. Now, that's important because you can burn your retinas.
You can.
In a whiteout situation, especially in the desert if, you know, it's really bright, and especially if it's light-colored sand.
Number 8, turn to
nine.
A candle.
9.
Number 8, I like number 9.
You skipped number 9, though. Okay, fine, I'll read number 9.
Use it to help your zipper get unstuck. It's just a little lubricant. Just like lubricant.
Go ahead and read number 8, too. I'll take 7 and 6.
No, you take 8.
Okay, fine. Number 8, we sound so professional, don't we?
Yeah, professional.
Number 8, turn it into a candle. Stiff a match. Stiff? That means stick? Turn into a candle.
We won't be grammar Nazis here.
Stiff a match, a cotton swab, or a rope into it, and light it up. Yeah, they meant stick.
Yeah.
Stick it, yeah. And light it up. But anyway, yeah. Use it as candle.
Or a rope. Good luck sticking a rope into chapstick.
If a little rope.
Number 7! Use it as a fire starter. We will be talking about that later on in the main topic of the show, fire starting. Rub it on something, then ignite, and be amazed. It works just like petroleum jelly. Really 13 reasons here. Which means you can rub it on your cotton balls and add that extra kick.
Giggity, 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 you pervert.
Number 6.
Number 6. Fix small rips and tears in your gear. Apply to the area. Make sure it's dry and clean.
Number 5. Waterproof your shoes and or gear. Apply to the area and make sure it's dry and clean.
Number 4, protect your face from frostbite for a bit. Apply to a clean, dry face. Don't get near the eyes.
Missing my eyes!
Unless you have ashes on it, apparently.
Yes. Number 3. Protect your face from the sun in deserts. Apply to clean, dry face. What?
Don't get near it. Yeah, the first one is... Yeah, number 4 was protect from frostbite. That one's protect from the sun.
So many similar ones. Yeah. Use... Take number 2.
Number 2. Use it on blisters, foot rot, and toothache. The last one is not recommended, but will help a bit. Oh my god, dude.
And number 1. Treat minor medical cuts, bug bites, and rashes. Apply to the area and cover with a clean cloth or leaf.
Okay, now comes my favorite part. What parts of this would you like to pick at?
I saw some redundancy, but I think chapstick is a good thing to have. It's definitely I keep Blistex. I don't use chapstick, but I use Blistex in the same canister, not the Blistex in the squeezy tube.
Yeah, I was thinking the squeezy tube. That's like defeating the whole purpose of
it. No. Yeah, well, I bet you could use it as a lot of these same things, except for the dip it in ashes. But yeah, same thing. I like to have plenty of Blistex around all year round. In every pocket, in every nook and cranny.
It comes in a very small container.
Right.
It doesn't take up a lot of space in a bug out bag.
Not at
or
all.
Anything like that. I mean, and you just saw it. It's got plenty of frickin' uses.
Yeah, year round, regardless of summer, winter, whatever the season, carry chapstick, carry Blistex, carry a lip balm. Not so much, I've heard some bad things, and I don't like them because they look weird and they take up too much room in your pocket. those round, one, like, eggs that the women use.
Uh-huh.
I heard, like, there's a, they get moldy or something. Like, people rubbing, like, molded lipstick crap on their lips. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of
You know, weird. I saw an article recently about how you can refill those yourself and save a bundle of money.
Probably with beeswax.
Yeah, beeswax actually was one of the key ingredients.
Yeah. Let's move on to an article that I think you will like, Mike. Potato Mike. Because you are a Vince Vaughn fan.
I
don't like him. This article may actually boost my like of him, but as an actor, I kind of think he's a jackass. I just don't like the movies he's in.
He was in Anchorman. How can you say that? He was in both Anchormen.
Small parts. Kinda. Sorta.
Oh, he was one of the main antagonists in the first one. I mean, yeah, he only had a walk-on cameo in the second one, but I like Vince Vaughn. Especially now that he wants all American schools protected with firearms.
Apparently, from what I hear, Vince Vaughn is actually a libertarian, so thumbs up to you, my friend.
Awesome.
Vince Vaughn wants all American schools protected with firearms. It's well known that the greatest defense against an intruder is the sound of a gun hammer being pulled back. I would say the thing that makes me shit my pants the most thinking about breaking into someone's house, not that I break into houses often, but if I happen to be breaking into houses, the from a shotgun. Nope, I'm gone. Fuck this motherfucker.
Yeah, the shotgun's got a lot better chance of hitting your ass in the dark.
Yeah, I don't know.
You just fucking aim with it. I mean, you just point with a shotgun and you're going to hit something.
Yeah. That's one of these statements actor Vince Vaughn makes in a wide-ranging interview to the UK edition of GQ magazine that includes his views about the rights of Americans to carry firearms. I support people having a gun in public, full stop, not just in your home. We don't have the right to bear arms because of burglars, he said. We have the right to bear arms to resist the supreme power of a corrupt and abusive government. It's not about duck hunting, it's about the ability of the individual.
Yes, it's the same reason we have freedom of speech, he added. But Vaughn, 45, wasn't done. He also wanted American schools to have firearms to protect their students. You think the politicians that run my country and your country don't have guns in the schools that their kids go to? They do, he said. And we should be allowed the same rights. Banning guns is like banning forks in an attempt to stop making people fat. Taking away guns, taking away drugs, the booze, it won't rid the world of criminality. Vaughn said mostly mass shootings occur where people aren't allowed to defend themselves with fucking firearms.
They've only happened in places that don't allow guns. Yes, gun-free zones are the only places that have gun violence. Interesting. These people are sick in the head and are going to kill innocent people. Yes, they are. He said of the perpetrators of mass shootings. In all of our schools, it is illegal to have guns on campus. So again and again, these guys go and shoot up these schools because they know there are no guns there. Vaughn said, my school had lots of guns, both the police there and the students. And we never had we had a drive-by. Anyway. They are monsters killing six-year-olds. The actor also gave his views on Edward Snowden.
Eric.
Edward.
I'm sorry.
I think his name's supposed to be Ed. I
gotta quit doing that. It's a bad habit.
You do gotta stop doing that. But I'm pretty sure his name's supposed to be Edward.
Well, whatever. E. Snowden.
I think Fox News fucked up. His name is Edward Snowden from now on. He's not Eric. The actor also gave his views on Edward Snowden, who leaked classified material from the NSA press, calling him a hero. Take us out, Mike.
I like what he did, Vaughn said. My idea of treason is he sells secrets to the enemy. He gave information to the American people. Vaughn is starring alongside Colin Farrell in the second season of HBO's True Detective.
Yes. Sure he is. Really? I
want you to know.
I like Vince Vaughn a little more now than I did before reading this article. I agree with pretty much everything he said.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly.
I've always liked Vince Vaughn. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Really fell in love with him in the movie Wedding Crashers, though.
I fell in love with that redhead that he was having intimate relationships with that movie.
Why am I not surprised, dude?
Yes, I pretty much love every redhead. I'm not going to lie.
She's like, how's my little friend?
I mean, at one point, I think I offered patches to any redhead that sent me their shipping address. So.
Yeah, you really did. You got a thing for redheads.
I do. I can't help it.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, yeah, I also, he brought up a good point there. The schools that, like, say Obama's children go to and every other, like, senator and politician, you don't think there's guns at those schools? the celebrities. Yes, it is recording. The celebrities, you know, that talk about how guns are bad and evil and they should be banned and all that are surrounded by people with guns protecting them.
You mean like Liam Neeson?
Like that dickhole, yeah.
Liam Neeson let me down with his fucking diatribes.
Yeah.
About how we shouldn't have guns and all this shit. Yet he stars in all these movies where he's using every fucking firearm known to goddamn man.
Yeah.
Sorry, Qui-Gon fucking Jinn. Not all of us have lightsabers. I'm stealing some of your goldfish. It's cheat day.
It is cheat day.
But what's coming up next, my friend?
Oh. We're through our news stories already?
Yep.
We're only 19 minutes in.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was looking at the time.
Oh, son of a yeehaw. This may be a short episode for once.
Yeah, it gives us time.
Hold on. So, Ian at work that I called out last week, and he said he'd love to hang out with you because he thinks you're funny as fucking fuck.
Well, invite him on out to the pod cave.
And he said he would love to sit here and just giggle the whole episode.
That'd be awesome.
Live, I told him he had to be a live studio audience and have to, like, clap and, like, do a laugh track when we said stuff.
Okay. I wanted to be a laugh, something like that. I wanted to be. Oh, I just pooed myself.
Yeah. Ian. He was saying maybe his favorite part of the podcast is when we go off on like ridiculous tangents and we go chasing rabbits down crazy dark alleys and then.
You mean when we go rambling about?
When we go rambling on. Yes. So the main topic of the show this week is all about fire starting. I thought that, you know, in a further attempt to bring the show back to survivalism and not James the Crusade against fat bastards, we would talk about fire starting this week. Me and Mike, we've made several mini fires in our years as friendships, right?
Several many.
I usually carry a lighter on my person. So we're going to talk about some of the philosophies, the different ways we've made fires over the years.
I just bought a 3-pack of lighters just for the sole purpose of throwing them into my bug out bag.
Exactly. I need to replace my pocket lighter with a new mini Bic, and never go with an off-brand one. The off-brand ones just break and explode and don't last as long as a true mini Bic. It's worth the investment. So yeah, we'll talk about our successes, a la, say, the Lensatic lens, the Frenzel lens, and our not successes. Right. I'll talk about some of my annoyances and banes at certain fire-making methods, and with that, I'll stop rambling on, and we'll get into it. So, first of all,
Go ahead.
What were you going to say?
I was saying, first of all, we should actually start with the most easiest way lighters.
Which is exactly where I was going to start out.
God, I love it when a
great minds.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yes. So, there's no reason to not carry a lighter all the time.
Even if you're not a smoker.
Even if you're not, I carry a lighter for how many years now and...
You're not a smoker.
I'm not a smoker. I've never smoked. I do make a lot of fires.
Well, when you were younger, you used to smoke after sex, but I mean, after you got up to 2 packs a day, you couldn't walk anymore and you had to quit.
Yeah. I carry a lighter everywhere. They need to be shoved in like every nook and cranny, the glove boxes, your bug out bags, your get home bags, your pockets everywhere. Mm-hmm. That's my first line. Like, if I'm making a fire, I'd rather use a lighter because it's just easier.
Plus, I mean, and as far as lighters go, I would like to recommend, you said you like to use Bics. They are a better disposable lighter. They really are.
Yeah.
Even when you run out of, and lighters are even great, even when you run out of fluid in a disposable lighter, you can still open it up. You've got a little spring in there, and you've got a flint and a striker wheel, which you can still be used to make sparks with.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can use that, Les Stroud's prison match, method, which I have actually used to light a fucking cigarette before. All I had was like fucking, I had like a piece of, like a napkin or something like that and cotton lint for my sock and a fucking disposable lighter. I mean, it took me a good 5 minutes, but it lit.
Yeah.
It fucking lit and I fucking lit a cigarette. I was driving. I was a delivery driver at the time. I was driving in a van full of oxygen, by the way.
Yeah.
For the company I used to work for.
Yeah.
Any fucking way. Now, I would also like to recommend a Zippo. A Zippo is a refillable lighter, which is great. Plus, I mean, Zippos can actually run off more than just lighter fluid. If you get the right stuff, the things that I've had some success with, Zippo can run off isopropyl alcohol.
Yeah.
It can also run off of, like, real high alcohol content moonshine. Like, anything I'd say I mean, you want to get the highest alcohol content moonshine or alcohol that you can. I mean, something really fucking far up.
So, like, Everclear would work.
Everclear's perfect for it.
Yeah.
Now, one thing...
What about vodka? I've seen mixed results with vodka.
Yeah, mixed results. Like I said, it all depends on the alcoholic content. Yeah. Some vodka doesn't have that much. Some, you know, has a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Now, one other thing I've actually tried, just as an experiment, was cologne. Because cologne does have a high alcohol content.
Right.
It has to, so it'll dry onto your skin. And it worked a little bit. If anything, it made my lighter smell really good. But I actually did get a flame off of it.
Well, there you go.
Now, you can actually use, like, oil lamp oil, but it will light a couple of times, but it's going to ruin your fucking Zippo. So yeah. I wouldn't recommend that.
Nor should you use gasoline.
Gasoline is a no-go because gasoline doesn't burn. It explodes. And never use charcoal starter fluid. Too high of a flash, too quick of a flash point, and your lighter will blow up in your hand.
What about kerosene, do you think? Maybe? Iffy?
Kerosene's iffy. I've never tried it myself because it seems a little bit...
If you had a crappy Zippo, it'd be worth ruining it to find out.
Yeah. Like, I have several crappy Zippos up there. I have some good name brand Zippos, too.
Yeah.
So it's always good to keep a Zippo in there, because you never know when you're going to come across something that you can actually fill a Zippo with if you do run out of fluid.
Right. Right. So taking a step back, I just want to take a time to talk about... You know, we're going to talk about fire starting methods, then we'll talk about some tinder and some other things.
Right.
Possibly even like the you know, so to build a fire, you need three things. You need heat.
Right.
You need oxygen.
Yep.
And you need a material.
Yep.
So you need those three things triangle to build a fire. Without one or the other, you don't have a fire.
Yeah, you're missing any one of those things, you're not going to have a fire.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and we'll talk about fire building in a moment. I really want to focus on methods for making ignition at this moment. Because it's what excites me. It burns in my soul. I've tried friction fires many times. I'm talking about bow drill, hand drill. Mm-hmm.
The oldest fire starting methods there are.
Yeah, plow. I've tried a bunch of different methods. Oh my God. I was at.
You said
I've been.
Plow?
Yeah, I actually kind of like that method the most.
Is that so what you.
Yeah, it's like.
Okay.
It's like basically you make a sort of a rut in a piece of wood and you go back and forth. So it's not. You don't have sort of the. I've torn my hands to shreds making like.
Fucking doing
hand
a bow
drill.
Hand drill, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Cody Lundin makes it so. That looks so goddamn easy on that show.
I can get an ember pretty quickly, but I have a hard time transitioning the ember. I'm blowing fire into it in my tinder bundle.
Mm-hmm.
From natural sources. If I had, oh my God, if I dropped it into a fucking Vaseline soaked cotton ball, which we'll talk about later, I think I can get a fire pretty quickly. Cause I'm fairly good at controlling the hand drill fire and getting, a solid ember going.
Right.
I just can't take that ember into the tinder bundle and blow life into it. I've got smoke, I've got so close.
Why don't you start out with it above the tinder bundle?
I just mean like once it's in the tinder bundle, getting it to catch fire. I've never had success.
Yeah,
getting to that point though, I've went down an entire, plank, making hand drill fires and getting smoke, getting embers in every single one, but not getting a fire until, at that point, after you make like four or five hand drill fires, your hands are torn to shit.
And honestly, and other people might tell you differently, but getting a fire started that way, it's a certain amount of skill, but it's also a certain amount of luck.
Yeah.
Just to be completely honest. I mean, it does take some finesse, but there's not a single survivalist out there that's like, oh yeah, I'm going to get a fire started every single time with this one method.
Yeah, no.
It's not. I mean, yeah.
It's good to know. And I practice and I hope to one day master it, but I'm still going to carry a fucking lighter.
Yeah, you also got to be careful with what kind of woods you select. You want a soft wood.
You want a soft wood for the hearth board, and you want a hard wood
for the drill.
For the drill, mm-hmm. Right? And I'm not sorry. I'm not that good at identifying woods. You can use like the thumbnail technique to find out which wood is hard and which one's softer.
I can't identify a lot of different trees that well, so.
That is like one area where I actually envy my father-in-law a little bit. He can walk through these woods. He's on first name basis with every fucking tree in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah, I can identify a couple. I mean, obviously I know cedar is
my hardwood. Wife's good at it too.
Yeah. Although the names they know are not like textbook names. They're hillbilly made up names for them. I mean, they can identify them to themselves. I mean, they know it's that tree is that tree or that tree is that tree.
Yeah, but they still know the difference. I mean, they can spot what.
Yeah, they have different names, but they know what it is basically. So yeah, I mean, I think that, and another thing is like, once you have, so necessarily going into the woods each time and getting a new kit to make a bow drill or hand drill fire is not the way to go. Once you, like, our hunter-gatherer ancestors, when they found a good, you know, drill, and they found a good hearthboard, they would keep it.
Yeah.
And use them again and again and again. And they would get drier and perform better.
Yeah, they perfect it as it went.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's it. You go out there, you find something you think is going to work, take it home, try it. I used to practice hand drill fires in my kitchen on the floor.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And, you know, I put down a cookie sheet so I didn't burn the linoleum, but whatever. Yeah. So, you know, find your, you know, just practice, you know, couple, you know, like rotates, you know, every day or every week on the hand drill fire.
You know, the first episode of, Survivor Man, Les Stroud, I think he was doing a bow drill fire, took him 12 hours to get that fire started. He was doing it wrong.
It's just not, I mean, maybe our hunter-gatherer ancestors were better at it because they did it all the time. Their lives depended on it.
Of course, then again, we don't know how long it took them to do it either.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they could have had calluses like an inch thick on their damn hands from having to spin that damn hand drill for a fucking hour every time. We just don't know.
Yeah.
We just know it worked eventually.
Yeah.
Of course,
I don't think they often... I think they tried to keep the fire going in perpetuity.
Yeah.
You know, because it's easier to keep a fire going, really, than it is to start a fire. With hand drill methods, yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
You also got to keep one thing in mind, and this is an old adage that I've, you know, fuck it, I'll save it to the end of the show.
Yeah. So I think we've covered primitive fire making methods. It's not every method, but, you know, hand drill, bow drill are pretty much the top two. I mean,
Now we're kind of glancing over on a bow drill. What is a good thing, you know? I mean, what's a good way to make a bow drill?
You want to find a hard wood that's straight and thin, you know, that, I don't know, about your pinky finger size, you know, in diameter.
Well, what about the bow itself?
Well, for a bow, you want to find a strong wood that's curved and then either make or use cordage that you have.
Now, how tight do you need the cordage on there?
I was taught not to make it super tight because you put the spindle in and then you turn it to add
to get
tension.
Right.
And keep it from rolling. So then you have like that. I wish I still had my kit. I think I threw it away when I moved because I didn't have room for, you know, sticks and branches.
Yeah. Now, one other thing, you're going to need like a separate, like a rock or with a dent in it or something like that.
For bow drill. Paper.
To put on the top of of the drill stick itself. Like, you actually have knife that you keep leaving over
my
here.
My Pathfinder tray knife.
Yeah, your
has
Pathfinder
a divot
tray
in it.
Knife that actually has a built-in divot in it for a bow drill.
And I've used it for that method. That's why it's blacked out.
I was wondering about that. Yeah, it's pretty... Not,
yeah. Also, if you... So, some knives actually have those divots for a bow drill fire. You will need something like chapstick to lubricate that hole. I got... smoke coming from my knife one time.
Oh shit, really? You were almost
so
igniting
the
end
of it?
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, cause this is a canvas micarta handle, which means it's blue jeans with resin on it.
Right.
So, it'll burn.
Yeah. And for the drill itself, I mean, like you said, you want to get a good hardwood. You want to get a piece that's as straight as possible. You can technically make a bow drill with a not straight piece, but the straighter it is, the easier it's going to be on.
Yeah. You know, a soft sort of pithy wood for the hearthboard. I burn out the hole, you know, pretty much just a quarter inch or so from the edge of the board.
Mm-hmm.
And then I burned it out, and then I cut out my V part so that the ember and the smoking powder will fall out of it onto your wherever you have beneath it to transfer it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to just make it on the ground.
Oh God, no.
You'll just lose your ember. So yeah, you.
That's just wasting time at that point.
Yeah, I put something underneath it, or even put it right next to my my bundle if possible. And then yeah, we may go make it. We may go do a fire later on after you're done recording.
You mean like a bow drill fire?
I may go make a hand drill fire.
That'd be interesting.
I don't know if we'll find any appropriate tinder. Maybe we'll.
Well, I only have a fucking forest behind my house. I'm sure we'll be able to find something.
I mean, with the rain, finding an appropriate.
Oh yeah, it's been raining a lot here
for a month. Yeah.
Another important thing about fire starting, make sure you get the driest possible tinder.
Yes, hence why I usually will carry a big survival knife and then chop the inside of wood to get to the dry material on the inside.
And you know, while we're at it, let's just go into the tinder bundles right now.
No, hold on, we're not done with ignition yet.
Oh, we're not? Okay.
No, we're going to cover the hell out of ignition before we go on to tinder bundles.
Oh, okay, I didn't know we weren't done.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, going from something hard, we'll go back to something easy before we take another method that I don't so much recommend. So, I do recommend you learning the hand drill and bow drill fires and practicing them. But at the same time, carry more reliable and easier methods that require less calorie consumption.
Mm-hmm.
One of mine that we played with recently that I highly recommend is a lensatic lens. Used from the sun. If you have a nice, non-cloudy day, you can have a fire in seconds with no energy expenditure.
But there's people out there going, but Survival Punk James, what's a lensatic lens?
It's a Frenzel lens. Anything like, what I have is a big plastic sheet that I got from Stephen Harris.
That works as a magnifying glass.
It works as a sort of big magnifying glass. It's thin. They make them small to fit in your wallet.
I have a credit card sized one in my little tin.
Yeah, it's completely like, it never, I mean, unlike, I like lighters. They're quick and they're easy. But eventually you will run out of fuel, and eventually you will use up all the flint rod. But that, as long as you have sun.
I saw you burning stuff like within seconds.
Yeah.
That's the one drawback, the sun.
Yeah, you gotta have sun.
Yeah, I mean, if it's an overcast day, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, you're not gonna get anything.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in the woods with a lot of overhead coverage from trees and stuff like that, you're gonna find it difficult.
You're gonna find it difficult, yeah. As a backup, I mean, actually, if I get out to a camping or in a survival situation and I have those conditions necessary for using the lensatic lens, I would use that first. Because and we'll talk about it in a moment, if you use a magnesium rod or any sort of fire rod, if you use a ferrocium rod, it has so many strikes before it actually, you've used it all.
Yeah, exactly. With a lensatic lens, it's completely renewable. You're not using up any of the actual things to do it.
So, in my preference of use, the lensatic lens comes first. Cause it's the one that won't ever use up. And then secondly, I would go to the lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And then, ferrocium rod, further on down the line from there. If I'm not just playing and trying to make a bow drill fire. If I'm under tough situations, I'm going to use whatever is easiest to get the fire going the quickest.
Absolutely. Now, one other thing, I actually got this for you for Christmas one year. I got you a fire piston.
That was actually what I plan on talking about next. The fire piston creates fire by creating pressure in a tube. It goes on the same principles as a diesel engine.
Yeah, air friction.
Air friction, yeah, and pressure. And it creates heat, and it puts char cloth, and it creates an ember, and then you transfer the char cloth ember to your tinder bundle, and then blow it to fire. I believe we did make fire using it, right?
We did.
After 15 minutes?
Yeah, it took a while, and it did.
And it bruised palm on both of us?
That's the problem. You have to slam the thing.
You have to slam the thing with your hand. The handle on the one that we had wasn't very comfortable. It took a lot of effort. It expended a lot of calories.
Yeah.
It left us bruised and injured. I mean, not injured. I mean, but it was uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it did. eventually give results.
Yeah.
And like the lensatic lens, it's renewable. I mean,
as long as you have char cloth, yeah, to feed it.
Yeah, and char cloth is, I mean, there's instructions online where you can make char cloth
out of, and we'll talk about it in a moment.
Use up t-shirts and blue jeans and shit.
Yeah, and bandana cotton materials, whatever. So there's that, we've touched on the ferrocium and magnesium rod blocks. I love them. I carry them on a lot of stuff. I used to carry one, a little small one I got, on my keychain. So I always had a tiny ferrocium rod on my keychain. So I could always strike off that, which gave me two ways to start a fire on my keychain. Mm-hmm. Keychain got a little bulky though, and then the ferrocium rod broke or fell off or something. I don't remember. But yeah, I mean, in all my bug out kits, I carry ferrocium rods and magnesium blocks, sometimes both.
Mm-hmm.
They work. Hands down, they work. Don't strike the ferrocium rod with the sharp edge of your knife. Get a good knife with a 90-degree spine on the back so you can strike off of that.
Yeah. You don't want to screw up your, you don't want
to
screw up the
blade. I mean, just, there's no reason to dull your knife.
Mm-mm.
But usually the strikers that come with them are shit garbage. You might as well throw them away. Use your knife. A trick that I've learned off of some other survival mentors, that makes a lot of sense is, and sorry for you guys at home, I'm going to try to describe this, although Mike will see the motions and understand more. So a lot of times when you see people, inexperienced people usually, making a fire with a ferrocium rod, you'll see them hold the rod and then drag the knife down across it.
Yeah.
Which can be dangerous because you are flicking a bladed object all around the place. It can slip. You can cut yourself.
Yeah.
What I prefer is put the knife right down there by my tinder bundle. Put the ferrocium rod underneath it and drag that
drag
back.
Drag the rod back.
It throws sparks better. Your knife's stationary and not going to hurt you. The fires for me start better doing it that method anyway.
Yeah, you move the rod, not the knife.
Exactly. And respect your knife. There's no reason to damage it or risk cutting yourself. Because it just makes situations shitty and more difficult.
Yeah, well, it's like that big knife I have in my bug out bag that I was talking about on our last episode. It came with one of those rods.
Right.
Which I've actually made sparks with like that before.
Yeah.
Because I had to try it out.
Right. Ferrocium rods. I have them in all your bags. I mean, my bug out bag fire starting kit is pretty, it has a lot of things in it.
Yeah.
I damn sure want to make sure that I'm having a fire started under all conditions, all times.
Yeah, I mean, in my bug out bag, I've got at least three or four different ways to start a fire in there.
Yeah.
It's important. Fire is life.
Yeah.
Fire is protection at night. It's warmth when it's cold.
Yeah.
It's an ability to cook food that you couldn't eat uncooked.
Right. I don't have a lot of experience, but another way to start fire is using a chemical reaction with magnesium permanganate, and then some other chemical. You can buy them as kits, fire starting kits. Mm-hmm. Two chemicals, like a purple one and maybe a clear one.
You just mix them together.
A drop here, a drop there, bam, fire.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you are injured in a survival situation and only have the use of one hand, that is probably the easiest method, save using the blast match technology, which is a one-handed fire striker.
Mm-hmm.
You just slam it down, kind of like the fire piston, but it has it's a ferrocium rod with like striker material built around it, so it sort of pivots like a pogo stick kind of.
Oh, really?
And it shoots sparks.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
It's pretty, yeah, and you can get them everywhere. Like Walmart has them now, for God's sake.
I'll tell you one other thing that I got a kick out of. It was on an episode of Survivor Man, the Cook Islands episode, actually.
Yeah.
Les Stroud, to start fires, was using these little signal flares where you just pull this one part and it snaps back. He basically, he got the fire pit set up, whatever, the tender bundle with the fucking timber on top of it. He just shoots the flare right into the fucking pit of it and boom, instant fire.
God, one time I saw him.
Easy. I mean, no calories expended.
Yeah. I think I saw him one time take the bullet out of a cartridge, a 22 long rifle cartridge, and shoot flame into a tinder bundle.
Mm-hmm. I saw that episode.
Yeah. So interesting. Yeah, I mean, be creative, but
can't catch fish to save his fucking life, but God, damn, no. Can he make a fire.
Or find any food, yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think we've covered pretty much my top ways to make ignition, which would be carry a damn lighter.
Oh, God, yeah.
Carry a fucking lighter. Two or three lighters. Carry a pocket full of lighters.
I've got four lighters in my bug out bag.
Yeah.
I do, because it's the easiest fucking way on the planet to get a fire started.
Yeah. And you know what? Like I said, I do recommend Bic lighters. But the cheap dollar store, like $4 for $1 lighters with multicolors, which are clear so you can see how much butane's in them. I mean, for a backup, there's no reason not to have some of them.
Yeah, that's I basically bought a 3-pack at Dollar Tree.
And
that's
here's
what I threw into my bug out bag.
Here's a little tip for you.
Huh.
The size of those lighters is enough to put duct tape around.
I never thought about that.
An extra way to carry duct tape on your lighter.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's killing two birds, isn't
and
it?
I've seen people take duct tape and then shred it into fibers and use that as a tinder bottle. So
Makes sense. You have
fire and tinder right there.
Duct tape is flammable.
Yep. So speaking of tinder bundles.
Oh, but before we get off the lighters, one other little piece of advice I want to give.
Yeah.
Even when those cheap plastic, Bic or non-Bic disposable lighters, when they run out of fluid, those, remember the Zippos I told you about? You can take those flints out of those disposables and they work perfectly in a Zippo.
There you go.
I mean, I have not bought official Zippo flints for any of my Zippos ever. I just use a flint out of a disposable. Never had an ounce of problems out of it.
Yeah. So, tinder materials. This is, I mean, really, anything that's combustible can be a tinder material.
Right.
My sort of preference and what I recommend has for years been, I'm a fan of soaking cotton balls in Vaseline.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a fan of getting the women's makeup scrub pads. So they're cotton pads that are small and like circular like discs.
Yes, and you soak those in coconut-based sex lubricant.
Or I've used them, so yes, you do.
Coconut!
I have used it before to soak those in coconut oil. Coconut oil is a liquid at room temperature, so they soak really easy. And then that way, besides, so as petroleum oil, you have fire tender, but you also have a few other things. In extreme conditions, you can use that Vaseline on the coconut, on the cotton balls for your lips, for like lip protection, you know, or for your face, like they said in the article on that stuff. With the coconut oil pads, you also have cooking oil, so you can lubricate your cooking surfaces with the coconut oil and make your fire with it.
That's another thing I recommend people keep in their bug out bags is a jar of coconut oil.
I really do too. And I mean, yeah, worst case scenario, you could remove the coconut oil from the cotton pad by chewing on it and then get some calories. Good, you know, saturated fat calories.
Yeah, and you're forcing your body into ketosis.
Exactly. So yeah. Or I reviewed the Coconut brand sex lubricant one time.
And if our loyal listeners actually got to see the video on YouTube.
Which is not what you think. We did test burning the Coconut lube
on makeup pads.
Cotton pads to see what the burn times was compared to coconut oil and
we burned one
we did
that
four,
was
four, right? We did four or three?
No, we did three. One that was just our basic one that had nothing on it.
Okay.
And that fucking went up like a damn room.
20 seconds or something, yeah.
Yeah. Then we had the one that was in coconut oil and the one that was soaked in coconut.
I thought we did a Vaseline one too though, but
I'm pretty sure we only did three.
Okay, so we
only wrong, so sue me. But the coconut oil lasted a pretty good while. The coconut lasted a little bit longer.
What was it like 10-12 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, it was like an insane amount of time it took for that pad to burn.
Yeah.
I mean, the coconut lasted a good minute or two longer than the coconut oil.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, once again, that's why, and that was a thin pad. If it was a cotton ball, maybe it could burn a little bit longer. That's why I like coconut oil. I've not seen a lot of people talk about it.
Control. That was the word I was looking for. The one without anything was our control.
Right. Which went up in flames, and the coconut oil went fairly long. The coconut
went up.
I was impressed. And that's what you want when making a fire. You want your tinder to burn as long as possible to give yourself more chance to combust the rest of the materials.
Now, as a good rule of the wrist, what would be a great way? I mean, if you don't have cotton, you don't have stuff like that, you're out in the woods. As a good rule of the wrist, which way would you like to go as far as collecting materials for tinder butter? What would you suggest?
If you can find an unused one, a bird's nest does make a good bird's nest.
I actually have a bird's nest and a fucking Ziploc bag somewhere that I've been saving just for something like that.
We should try that today. But anyway,
if I can find it.
If you can find a birch tree, you can shred the...
Is that the one that had where the bark...
It's fuzzy.
It's fuzzy or looks like it's peeling off in sheets?
No, it's fuzzy. It looks like it's kind of hairy almost.
I know exactly what
you're talking about. It's fibrous. Yeah, you can that's real good to make a tinder bundle with. A lot of sort of cedar and pine trees, they have a lot of resin that burns well, so those are also good. Dry leaves, They burn fast, but they'll work dried grasses.
Depending on which part of the country, they have this stuff, old man's beard, that hangs off of trees sometimes.
Yeah.
Looks like hairballs, basically, is what it is, what it looks
yeah.
like.
Yeah. Cattails. Cattails are basically cotton bundles.
Yeah, I mean, you tear those open, and you've got dry tinder right there. I mean, because the fucking outside's waterproof.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all good stuff. If you could find fat wood from inside of a cedar tree, that burns long, but not so much tinder material. Well, you shave it, you can. You can make shaving tinders. There are certain mushrooms that are good for catching a spark and burning.
Really? I would have never thought mushrooms. They seem like they'd be too moist.
You gotta dry it. I don't think it's good to go right off it, but...
Moist!
You wanna dry them out. Chaga? Chaga mushroom, yeah. Tinder fungus. Chaga.
Chaga.
Chaga, chaga. Ooh.
Chaga, chaga, doo-hoo. Moist.
And there are some commercial brands you can get for fire-starting tinder that are good, and they're good to have as sort of backups. So,
Esbit makes,
I've tried a bunch. Wet fire is a good one that a lot of survivors like.
It comes, wet fire?
Wet fire. It will burn in water.
Wow.
Yeah,
I mean that's good to have.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're little tiny cubes, sort of like bubblegum shape. You tear them open, they'll catch a spark.
Hmm.
Okay, they'll take a flame better.
Yeah,
I've seen videos of people throwing them on water. They'll float on fire.
Hmm.
You can use them in the rain. There's no reason not to have a couple in your bug out bag. I think I do. I've had some go a little old where they're not as effective anymore. That's something to think about. You might want to rotate that. I've used military trioxane liquid fuel that I've got from like army surplus stores. It's basically like, it's a gel. You squeeze it out like I think I gave you some maybe in your bug out bag, in your fire. I don't know. Maybe I kept it somewhere. But yeah, they're a flammable like alcohol burning gel.
Hmm.
Technically, I guess you can make napalm if you soaked, styrofoam inside gasoline and use that as a fire tinder if you happen to stumble upon it.
Did you just say hand sanitizer a minute ago?
I said alcohol, but yeah, hand sanitizer will work.
Yeah, the hand sanitizer gel, yeah, because alcohol is a big ingredient.
Exactly. Yeah. I actually used some hand sanitizer gel recently to, murder a tick. So I put a tick on my, stainless steel prep table for my kitchen, put, alcohol on him, and then caught that son of a bitch on fire.
Well, yeah, ticks all deserve it.
Ticks deserve it, yeah.
So wet fire trioxane,
Esbit stoves, Esbit stove, tablets.
How are you spelling Esbit?
E-S-B-I-T, Esbit. Okay. So you have an Esbit stove. They take Esbit tablets you can get for sale. They're like little cube tablets. They won't take a spark. You won't light them on fire with a lighter. Possibly lensatic lens would set them on fire as well, obviously. And it'll burn for 10, 12 minutes or so.
Right.
You can get water to a boil. You can cook some small foods and stuff. I include in your bug out bag homemade Esbit tablets that I use making.
Yeah, I still have those in there.
Yeah. You take, and there's an article on survivalpunk.com. I will link to it in the show notes. Get something like either cotton balls or a free resource you can get from anywhere. Dryer lint. Dryer lint's a real good tinder.
Oh, God. And itself. It's insanely flammable.
Yes. By itself is good. So I'll pack that in the toilet paper tube and then I pour it in. Paraffin wax.
Hmm.
I chopped them into like little portions, and I got, I don't know, 12 minutes burn off those things.
Wow. That ain't bad.
Once again, they're not so good at taking a spark, but you light them on fire.
Yeah,
the cardboard burns, and then the paraffin wax catches and sustained burn. Smells a bit funny, because, you know, dryer lint has shit in it.
You know, just take a step backwards here. I just wanted to add one thing. Another thing, you know, going back to ignition for just a minute, and I'm not going to make it long. Windproof, waterproof matches. I always recommend those. I keep those in my bug out bag.
Yeah, I missed it. I'm not a huge fan of the matches, but if you got them, you know, might as well.
Plus, they don't take up much. I mean, one match takes up virtually no space.
Yeah, yeah. I put them far down on my list of things, but I do carry them as well.
I mean, yeah, I got a lensatic lens, I got lighters, I got the matches.
Yeah.
I've got various, I mean, yeah.
I like to carry candles in my fire kit to get the candle going, and then I have sustained ignition there.
You know, I've got and I know we're going off on a little bit of a tangent here, but I just want to share one good use of a candle, especially for people that like to go cave haunting and spelunking and shit like that. If you're, okay, you keep candles on you and lighters. This is why. say you ever get caught in a cave-in or whatever, and you're not trapped under a rock or you're not having to fucking cut your arm off or whatever, and you don't see a visible way out, light a candle. Not just for light, but really study the bend in the flame.
Right.
Because if there is a hole to the surface or anything where air can get through, that flame will seek it.
Yeah.
And you can sometimes follow that to freedom.
And if it doesn't light, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No oxygen, yeah.
Lighters.
Also carry canary with you.
Yeah, keep a canary in your bug out bag.
Yes, keep just a canary in your bug out bag in case you're in a cave in.
Pockets of poison gas.
Exactly. Exactly.
But getting back to Tinder bundles and shit.
Other Tinder,
Well, let's get into char cloth, shall we?
Char cloth, yeah. And you can char other material too. So, quick and easy way to make char cloth. If you've got a metal container, like, I carry a metal sort of Nalgene bottle. You burn your cloth. You put a 100% cotton cloth in a metal container because you need to burn.
Yeah, like a t-shirt, or you old can blue bury jeans, it, bandana, stuff exactly. like that. Exactly.
Cut a piece, throw it in a metal container, seal it. Mm-hmm. You can, close the lid on it. You can put a rock on top of it and then put it in the fire. The cotton will burn without any oxygen. So it
without a flame actually
material.
Touching it.
Right. It'll become charred material that will then take a spark super easy.
Oh, yeah.
Super easy. Everyone should make some char cloth.
Yeah, perfect for stuff like a fire piston and stuff like that.
Yeah, and
for just any kind of fire starting in general.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially for anything that's like, when we're talking about the tinder, a lot of those tinders will not take a spark.
Right.
You need flame to set them.
Mm-hmm.
Char cloth will take a spark.
Yeah.
From anything. So if you have, say that lighter's run out of fuel and you're trying to use, the flint off of it, you can use the char cloth to catch that flint, that spark, and mm-hmm. then start your fire.
Yeah.
You will need it for a fire piston. I can only imagine if you had a big piece of char cloth on top of a bird's nest using a hand drill fire, you'd have much better chances than my failures.
Oh God, yeah.
It's once you get that in there.
excuse me.
So that's, can you think of any more tinder? Tinder, I think that's, I mean, you know, besides like off-the-wall things.
Now, I just want to give people some advice on, making a fire bundle itself. I mean, you want to make sure that you've got as much surface area on a fire bundle to catch flames with. I mean, you don't want to take all your tinder and compress it. That's not going to let oxygen get in very well. You want it fluffed out.
On some stuff. On a bird's nest, you actually want to compress the center.
Mm-hmm.
But on everything else though, like, when I use those makeup pads soaked in stuff, you want to rip them and spread out those fibers, because those fibers are going to catch.
Yeah, that's that much more surface area.
Yeah, exactly. But that was my problem on the bird's nest, primitive fire making. You want the outside to be sort of fluffy, but you want to press in the center.
Hmm.
And that's where you want to drop it.
Right.
For that to, take it in there and then spread.
Yeah, you put some, char cloth down in the middle of that.
Oh my God, it's so much easier. God,
yeah,
we're still making fire after this.
You're in fucking business. I mean, well, we got to anyway. I just bought a grill today and I want to make some burgers.
Yes. 2 days later, we're still making hand drill fires. So yeah. I am a fan of making a teepee when I start my fires. It's served me well.
For your bunghole?
Teepee. To make my fire. So I use little sticks.
Oh.
And I build what looks like a Native American teepee.
Okay,
and then
gotcha.
The bigger sticks on the outside and bigger sticks on the inside. And then I put my tinder butt on the inside and then it catches the small sticks, the bigger sticks, the bigger sticks. And then when the teepee is done, the fire teepee is done,
mm-hmm.
that's when I start adding the bigger logs. I've not done it yet, but we should experiment sometime making an upside down fire.
Explain this.
So you take big logs and you put them next to each other. And then you like cross layer another layer on top of smaller logs. So you build these logs
Burn
to the top to the bottom. You know, with like smaller materials, so you get to like really fine shavings and whatnot, and then your tinder bundle, and then it burns down, and you can actually control your fire completely that way. You can make a fire that lasts an entire night that way.
Interesting. Never thought about that.
Nah, I've never done it either. But I like the idea, and I want to try it. You know, for like if you're camping out, if you do that. You don't have to sit there and feed fire the whole night.
No.
You make one fire and go.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
We should try lighting the
bonfire.
I bought some matchlight charcoal. We should try lighting it with a lensatic lens.
I don't have it with me. You have yours.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find it though.
So yeah, I
think we have beat fire to death. We thought this was going to be a short episode. We're about to hit an hour.
We talked a lot about fire.
Yeah, we probably spent a good 40 minutes
40 on minutes on fire.
Well, if you have any suggestions, or you use anything that's obscure out of the way, drop us a comment on the episode. We appreciate your comments.
Yeah, absolutely. Any good comments, we will go ahead and use them on the next week's episode.
And if you have a cool product, send me one for review.
Absolutely. And speaking of reviewing cool products, it is time for Gadget Punk.
And then we'll get out of here. So I got a new hammock. As you guys know, I fucking love hammocks.
Yeah, the Fox Outfitters Trek Hammock. Now, yes. The Trek Hammock describes the size of the hammock.
Right, it is 9'10" by 4'7", 13 ounces.
Yeah, it's enough for one grown person.
One grown person, yeah. Me personally, I prefer a double hammock. Lots of room, which is actually over, it's actually, double hammocks are, over 6 foot wide.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I could lay sideways.
Sweet.
Yes. And it'll fit two people, but for one person, it's more room.
Yeah.
I've reviewed in the past the Fox Outfitter single hammock, which is 10'6" long and 5 foot wide. And you know, I've sort of got to play around, try out the Trek hammock. I do like its lightness. The straps are shorter, but they have padding to help protect trees. I like that. I do prefer longer straps.
Mm-hmm.
They are nice straps though. They're the sort of flat straps, the quick ones with the different mounting points.
Oh, okay, cool.
So setup is quick and easy. I like that. They come with carabiners. Mm-hmm. It holds 400 pounds, so you can fit on it. Actually.
Don't make me sound like I weigh 400 pounds.
No, I was going to say you and possibly all of your kids can go on it. Or at least two of your kids. Of your three kids.
Yeah.
Give them my kids. Anyway, yeah. I'd say you and your wife, but I won't say that. You and I think all of your kids could fit on it. It's so narrow, though, you probably couldn't.
Quit digging the fucking hole, dude.
Anyway. I had your wife sit on it yesterday to try it out. And the slat strap moved a little bit, so she freaked out and thought she broke it. But I'm like, no, it just wasn't adjusted. Like, where it's hooked on the tree slid around. But it didn't actually... It's fine. So it is a super strong, breathable nylon weave. Like most good hammocks. Durable triple interlocking stitching. Like that. It'll stay together. Nautical grade ropes. Max weight 400 pounds. It's small. It's light. For bugging out, my preferred, system is a hammock now. If you live in a flat area without big trees, like say the plains of Kansas or Texas, probably not a hammock person. If you don't have, or desert, you know, if you don't have trees or good places to hang your hammock, then, what was that?
That was the front door opening.
Oh, yeah, if you don't have that, then you want to pick up different systems. Where we're at, we can find trees to hang hammocks every 2 feet, basically.
Oh, God, yeah. We're in Tennessee, the greenest state in the land of the free. There's trees everywhere.
Yeah, so, hammocks are just smaller, lighter, easier to carry than a tent.
They keep you off the ground, which is
always a plus. They keep you off the ground, which I like. They work good for most. I've done winter camping in a hammock. It takes some extra precautions, but it's not that hard, especially here in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people hammock camp down in the -20s and 30s.
Yeah, you've camped out on my property in the winter before.
Yeah.
And you were cozy.
I was cozy. Everything you had. I had to strip clothes off because I was getting too hot.
Yeah, that's crazy.
There's no reason not to get a hammock. Unless you're bugging out with a family, in which case you kind of want to designate one person to carry your tent system. What I like with this is everyone can carry a hammock system, you know, without having a big bulky bug out bag. You know, on my bug out bag, my hammock system will fit in a pocket of it.
Wow.
It's, you know.
Well, yeah, like the hammock I have. I mean, it compacts down really.
Exactly.
It doesn't take up very much
room. You know, usually most of them are under a pound. You add in a good tarp, you know, for your coverage overhead.
Mm-hmm.
In summertime, I switch to my Hennessy hammock that has a bug net built into it.
Yeah.
Which is a complete system right there. You're going over a pound, probably in the 2 pound range at that point.
The Fox Outfitters Trek Hammock is what we're reviewing today.
Yeah,
I was discussing their options.
I know, you were just discussing other brands and we're just trying.
Well, no, I'm talking about the hammock. So yeah, I'm actually probably going to give this hammock away. I've already actually given it to someone really after we review it, shoot some videos, because I have, I do like more room. For really small people, small stature, or people that want to really save on ounces when they're bugging out, this is the hammock for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's affordable, it's small, it's light, it has a good system. The Fox Outfitters Trek Hammock.
All right. And just got keep an eye out on our YouTube channel for the full videos on both that and us trying to light a fire today.
It will probably be the Trek Hammock, or the Fox Outfitters Trek Hammock video might probably be up before this podcast goes up, to be honest.
Oh, really?
I might just upload it today and say screw it.
Well, then they'll be able to go ahead and look for it.
Exactly.
All righty. And, I'm taking that off the damn board. I never liked that.
What?
The Survivor. That.
Oh, the Survivor at Home.
Yeah, the Survivum. Yeah, I can't even fucking say it, and I came up with a name. Yes, I just officially killed the Survivum challenge, okay?
No.
Look, if you want me to bring back the Survivum challenge, just drop a comment. All right, now it is time for Mike's Celebrity Invite of the Week, and this week I'm inviting Vince Vaughn onto the show.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Your wife can track him down.
Yeah, pie in the sky. I mean, he's a fucking famous person. He's one of the most recognizable people on the planet. We can find him.
Oh my God.
And if you can figure out what movie that was from, be the first person to comment on it. And I will give you a shout out.
Yes. And on that bombshell.
Alright.
Advertising, we take it, we take all sorts
James
of things.
JamesTheSurvivalPunk.com if you want to advertise on the show. The Survival Punk Army wants you.
Exclusive content, access to vendors, discounts, it's cheap and awesome. You support the show, we love you long time.
Join us. Become one of us.
Right, meow.
One of us. The Survival Punk Army wants you. Well, this was a show that we thought was going to be short, ended up being right on the money, so.
Why do we ever, every time we say that, this episode's probably going to be short, and then we start ranting and rambling, and you know what? I used to think that I should probably, like, you know, outline and sort of, like, plan out the episode a little bit, you know, so I have, like, an idea of what to talk about. We would go for 5 hours, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I know enough, like, survival, like, Tinder and fire-making medicine off the top of my head to rant a long time, and I don't think I had!
Yes, you become quite garrulous in the company of thieves.
Yes.
Loquacious, verbose, effusive, tri-chatty.
Sometimes. The people at work are like, what the fuck? No, he's quiet. No, I don't want to talk to anyone there. Except for you, Ian.
Except what?
Except for you, Ian.
Yes, who I'm also inviting onto the show.
Oh my God. Studio audience.
He's gonna be on a laugh track.
Oh yeah, he's laughing his balls off as he's listening to this.
He better be.
Yeah.
Alright, well, I think that will just, wait, I'm trying to remember the advice that I was gonna say earlier, but then decided to wait to the end of the show, and now I can't fucking figure it out anymore.
My advice of the show, we didn't start the fire. We didn't start the fire!
I shot the sheriff, but I did not shoot the deputy.
For sure we can beat you on that. And on that bombshell,
it is time to end. So, for Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sick One Burnett.
And remember, work smarter, not harder.
DIY to burn shit.
Use guys.
Use guys.